In this episode of the Scottish Watches podcast, we chat with Luke, the creator and pioneer behind Only Watch, and as we had a few spare minutes at the end of the show, we brought on Mike France from Christopher Ward to chat about the brand new C60 concept. Welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. Quite a few months ago, we had the second part of our Max Busser and Barbara Palumbo shenanigans. It was an amazing episode. Many tales were told, and one that came to the fore was about Only Watch and a man called Luke. He is the creator of the project, and they have been going for a number of years, and we have tried over the last couple of months to get everybody's diaries in order so we could have a chat with the man himself, find out more about exactly what this is all about and the amazing amount of money that's been generated for such a worthy cause. So today we are very thankful and grateful that we have Luke on the phone along with Barbara and Dave. And how is everybody doing today? We'll start with Barbara, ladies first. I mean,
ladies
Dave.
First, and yet you still started with me. That's terrible. Hi, guys. How are you? Nope, doing great. Just got back yesterday from the Baltimore area where I was with our friend, Mr. Adam Cradiotis, for a big watch event out there. Happy to be home. Happy to have Luke Petavino here. Hi, Luke. Been
Hello.
Too long. And hope you and Mr. Dave Sharp here are doing well.
We are indeed.
Indeed.
Yes. Dave?
Yes, I'm all good. Has been a busy week, actually. A few little watch events this week, which is always good in getting into rooms with people again after a long hiatus with COVID and lockdowns and such like. So we've had a couple of nice little events over the last week, which has been great as well. So yeah, all good from me. And what about you, Luke?
Well, good for me too, because I'm very privileged to live in a region where the sun is present most of the year and the temperatures are balanced. So I'm not going to create some jealousy between the participants, but it's very pleasant to live in a place where you have mountain in the background and sea just in front. And it's a nice place to, you know, to start visiting the world because we have a great airport and you can go back home and it's quite easy for me. And I just been back from Dubai accompanying the second stopover of the world tour. Unfortunately, this year it was not possible for me to accompany the pieces in Asia, but it gives me some time to work on the project and the auction.
Fantastic. My news is I've had my second COVID jab. So this week I've been sleeping a lot, as Dave knows.
Right.
Yeah, I had to miss a Tudor launch event due to this, and the day before I was on a shaky peg. But I've managed to survive COVID and two jabs. I'm doing okay. I think I'm pretty much immune to the universe, so all is good. And the next thing we do is just a quick wristwatch check with all involved. Again, Barbara, you can go first.
I am wearing a brand new watch that I just got over the weekend when I was in Baltimore at Little Treasury, actually in Gainbrills, Maryland. So I got my hands on a Nomos Glashütte Club Campus.
Nice.
It's a 36 millimeter piece. It's the gray. I went for the gray. I love the orange dial, but I was like, you know what? Eventually this will go to one of my kids, probably my daughter at the 36 millimeter. Although my son has already kind of like been keen to trying to steal it off my wrist, and I've only been home not even 24 hours, but beautiful watch. I'm obsessed with it. I don't have a gray watch. Stainless steel case, obviously, because it's Nomos, you know, it's in-house caliber, manual wine, and it's got a 43 hour power reserve. So that's what's on my wrist.
And this is your first German watch, I believe.
Yes, it is. You know what? And I kind of went back and forth because there was a Mulle that I was also kind of interested in, but I don't know. There's something about Nomos. I was a little concerned with the lugs. Nomos is really infamous for those long lugs. But I mean, I kept talking to Adam and talking to all these people who were at this watch fair over the weekend. I was asking everybody, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? As I was like test driving it. And I only got one person that went like, oh, it's kind of plain for you. And I wound up defending that point. When they said it was plain for me, I actually got on the defense about it. And I thought, you know what? If I argued the point, I'm definitely getting this watch.
Who was it that said such a thing?
Who? Yes. But I'm surprised about you. You were defensive, Barbara, about defending points.
Offensive.
I was going to say it's generally offensive rather than defensive, yes.
Yeah, I know. That's true. That is true. I'm on the defense. All right, what are you guys wearing?
I asked a question there.
Yes.
I said to you, who was it?
Who was what? Oh, I'm not going to tell you. I can't tell you.
Disappointing.
It was a rep for another brand, though. So I think it was more like they wanted me to get one of their watches type of thing. But that's all I'll say. So go ahead.
That's fair enough. And how was the event itself? Things are starting to open up over in America, just as it is in the rest of the world that Luke was saying there.
It was incredible. I mean, again, you know, Adam trained it down from New York, and I flew in from Atlanta, and you know, we kind of met. It's really in the middle of Maryland. They were packed. I mean, I can't tell you how many Grand Seikos went out the door. It was extraordinary. They're a Grand Seiko dealer. They have Breitling and Omega and Alexander Sharokov. Like they have really interesting independent brands. They carry Oris. The Oris Airstream was there, which was great. It was the first time I got to see that in the U.S.
And the Bear.
And the Bear. Bear was there, which was so much fun. But it seemed like every brand who sent a rep did really great business. It was really, really packed. And this is the second time I've been invited by them. I MC a contest that they have, and it was a lot of fun, honestly. And yeah, it was great. I mean, people were masked and you know, largely I assume people were vaxxed, and yeah, it was great. It was great to see people again, like exactly like Luke said.
Excellent. And Dave, what's on the wrist?
I am wearing my Konstantin Chaikin Joker Titanium because why not?
Nice.
One of those days, and he's definitely gone slightly cross-eyed at the moment, but yeah, that kind of sums up my day broadly speaking. But yeah, it's a watch that anytime I'm feeling a little blue, I wear, and it cheers me up without fail every time I look at my wrist.
Oh, why are you blue, Dave? Why are you feeling blue, buddy?
Why is it blue? Because I've dawned on me that we're slowly marching towards winter, and winter is a depressing place. Scotland's a depressing place to be in the winter when it gets light at 10 in the morning and by 4 in the afternoon it's dark again. And you're lucky if it sees positive temperatures, never mind double digits. So that's the joy that we have to look forward to for the next 4 to 6 months. But other than that, all good.
And Luke, what is it you have on the wrist today yourself?
I don't wear watches. This is not a joke. It's probably why I succeeded in organizing only watch, you know, because I'm like a stranger to this industry, and I really like what they do. I don't understand that much, but I know enough just to find the brilliant intelligence behind creating all those watches. But me personally, I don't wear watches. And I think what happens is that slowly, by being kind of the father of a kind of a group, you know, it's difficult for me to choose. I wear watches from time to time, but even more during Only Watch, I don't wear some.
You're almost like Switzerland. You're staying neutral. You stay neutral. You don't want to wear something and go, oh, that's a favorite.
I really like a lot of these pieces, and I see the effort that's been put in this 2021 collection. And at the same time, I just want to tell them all that I'm playing the guy, you know, uniting, having this role in this project. So kind of automatically, it goes out of my brain, and I don't wear watches during this period. It's funny, yeah?
Even when you do wear watches, do you more typically wear watches as a special occasion, maybe if you're going out, or as maybe a dress piece rather than a day-to-day watch?
Most of the time, I think at the moment, I just wear one watch when I go swim. So I know how long I can swim in the sea. You know, it's kind of a timer for me.
Great.
The way it should be.
Yes.
And today I am wearing, although I've just taken it off the wrist, Barbara, you should recognize this little guy.
I sure do. It looks good.
It is. It's still all shiny because I don't wear it enough. Because unlike Luke, I get too many watches to try on and wear and test drive and things. So there's always something different on the wrist each week. But this is the Oris Hangang. It is their Aquis range. I think it's 43mm, limited edition. And it's got one of the best dials that I have seen. I didn't have any green watches before I got my little hands on this one, and it is just incredible. In sunlight, in artificial light, it doesn't matter. It always puts a smile on my face, and the roulette style date disc on it is something that I hadn't really seen before either, and it's got a sub-seconds as well. Great watch, should wear it more often, but like I just said, we get too many. We're always test driving. It's like the motor journalist who's always got a new car at the weekend. But we'll put some pictures of all these watches and a bare naked Luke wrist in the show notes that everybody can play along at home.
Ricky, you know, it's really quickly, you know, it's funny. When we had Max on, remember, he wasn't wearing a watch either.
That's true.
Because he had just worked out and he was like, I don't don't have a watch. Like, Max Boosser didn't have a watch on his wrist. This is the second time this has happened.
These trendsetters, that's what it is. We've got the formalities out of the way. Mizzy L, our show notes guru, will be very happy because he likes us to deal with things in a timely manner. But we shall move right into the heart of the matter and find out from the man himself all about Only Watch. So, tell us all about it. How did this come to be and how did things begin?
The idea for me, first of all, my education, my parents, my culture is a culture where general interest, the other counts a lot. And all our lives, since we were children, we've been in an environment where we were not living for ourselves. We were having our lives. And at the same time, the neighbors, the community, my parents grew during the Second World War. And just after, there was absolutely nothing. So yes, we're based in Monaco, but like many of Monaco people, we are all immigrants. They were coming from Italy. And they were very tough times. And my parents immediately wanted to, they were like missionary people for everything related to social, you know, the workers, the students, access to culture, to travel, to education. And they really built a society of helping, of being there. So all my childhood, I was attending those moments, those events where there was always something created for the community. So it is something that suddenly popped up for me because I had a sick child, you know. It's really in my DNA, in my everyday life. And before that, before I created this charity, I was very active in Junior Chamber and other association charities, and I was always very vibrant regarding everything I could do. My life as just me, myself, and I is beautiful, but it's a bit limited in terms of impact. And I'm lucky enough to have had those parents to open my field. And we traveled a lot in a very simple way. We were camping in Turkey, everywhere. So all this approach of the others not being a threat, the travels, taking into consideration the situation of the needy, etc., was in my universe. And it's probably the best present they ever gave me because it allowed me afterwards to feel at ease. I very, very often I say, I'm very lucky to be able to have breakfast with the goat keeper and dine with the prince. This is my luxury, my high luxury to try to go through the colors. And so whenever I create a project, I have this this opportunity to have a wide range of connections and not judging and being able to federate the energies because I feel at ease in different sectors like that without seeing life as something vertical, but more as a horizontal approach of connecting the world. Bridges, I would say. Bridges with it being judgmental. So the idea behind Only Watch, it's like for all of us, whenever something harsh is happening in our life, sometimes we found ways to overcome that. Some other times we're just stuck, thrown on the ground, and we have difficulties to find the way up or the way out or find the light. And this will be recurring in our lives. We will face situations like that. So as soon as we got the diagnosis of St. Paul with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, it was in February 2000. I know exactly where I was working on the port. It was the 4th of February, a little bit like the Berlin Wall or the moon landing. You remember this kind of moment when you have a strong diagnosis. We understood that there was going to be a limited contract for his life, a limited time contract. Well, his life was going to be 1/3 or 1/4 of hours. So after the shock of this, very quickly, I'm not somebody who wants to be stuck with anger or the feeling of unfairness, because then, you know, it reduces your space. Sometimes we're all taken by this kind of energy and we're stuck in this, and it happens in different domains. But for this, I just told myself, what can I do with my competence that can transform this heavy energy into hope, into fun, into having people collaborate and, you know, create beauty to do good. So, and Paul was very helpful in this matter because he's always been somebody extremely accepting what was happening, very happy, always asking you how the community, how they were doing, even after big operations. And, you know, he was always the one sending you some light, accepting the burden of his situation and just being extremely resilient. So he was an example for us, a beautiful soul. And so I started creating monothematic auctions in art with a theme. the Mona Lisa project or Adam and Eve, you know, the original sin, and asking at the time famous artists like Helmut Newton and, I mean, more French people like, or Belgian people like Foulon, Armand, César. But at the time, art was not that expensive. We managed to gather beautiful art, and we were doing every year something like 150 to 200,000 euros, which was good. And after that, I felt that being an organizer of the Monaco Yacht Show, I could see the trend of customized yachts, bigger and bigger, more and more money. So we started a big yacht in 1991 when I created the Monaco Yacht Show. It was 25 to 30 meters. And you had some series. And afterwards, 40 meters, 50, 70, 100, and then they were not entering the port anymore. And it was always like unlimited possibilities. So without judging again, I told myself that it could be interesting to go towards something unique. And first I created Project Colony One, which was exactly only watch, but in the domain of luxury in general.
Right.
And I did two editions. And again, it was 150 to 200,000 euros each time. It was a yearly charity auction. Then I had this idea in 2004 when Blancpain was my sponsor on the Monaco Yacht Show to ask at the time, Monsieur Hayek, Senior, I have this idea. I would want to gather the watch industry. We need much more money than a couple of thousand, hundreds of thousands of euros if you want to be part of the solution to the therapy. And I can see that the watches are a beautiful small object that could have a lot of value. And my idea would be, and you know the concept now, to ask people, brands, if they want to create a unique watch for us. I think it worked. The reason is, the question is always the same. Of course, I'm not the first guy having this idea or the first woman to have this idea. Many people thought about that. I think that the reason why things work, first of all, some of them you'll never know exactly why sometimes it's working or not. You have to be grateful and say thank you. This is always a path of mystery. The alchemy, why this time, why not the other time? Okay, just say thank you. Second thing is that I think one of my skills is really empathy and non-judgment. And I perceive quite clearly, I would say, like with my sonar, the shape of the entity I have in front of me. So without judgment and a good sonar, like the whales or the dolphins, you know more or less what you are facing, who you are facing. And then you just find a way with the empathy to connect in a way where you know that your information is going to be received by the other. And then the third part is not to push it. It's never to use the pathology as a tool to obtain a good decision. Otherwise, you reduce your project to one color and you oblige the other one somehow to say yes, because if she or says he says no, then he wouldn't feel at ease. You say, I'm not a good person. I leave people on the... So don't use this. Then, of course, the patronage of Prince Albert was really great and he's been there since day one. Very, very... generous person, caring, open, always wanting to support. The other thing as well was that being the organizer of the Monaco Yacht Show for those luxury brands, they knew they were dealing with somebody who was consistent in the contact, but at the same time, I know what I'm talking about. You know, I gathered something like 1 or 2 billion euros of yachts in a port, maybe. So it's a good sign of you can let go. And this beautiful adventure is a story of letting go as well, because whenever we connected with all those brands and it went gradually, my pitch is always something extremely simple. You should have a 5-year-old boy or girl in front of you and be able to express what you're going to do. If she or he understands immediately in 30 seconds what you do, generally speaking, it's a good project.
That's a brilliant way to look at it.
You know why? Because we are all over busy. We are tired, fed with so many data and information. If somebody comes and put more kilos in your package, you're like, okay, it's beautiful, but you know, I already have my fair share of everything I have to do. So whenever as well you ask something, don't ask for something too heavy, too demanding.
Keep it simple
and let them be a part of the project, you know, de-verticalize the project. If you say this is for the community, to create hope, to do something together, then really be kind of the shepherd of the project, but don't verticalize your presence.
Yeah.
You know, put the responsibility on each of us and then create a very strict frame. But inside of this frame, when people stepped in, we are our own authority. you are as much on Z1 as I am. You know what I mean? And this is why as well, there's this warmth and this trust in the project. Nobody cannibalizes nobody takes a bite inside of OnlyWatch. We all behave at the level of a good behavior all together. We're in a group. And we know that it is very strong and really fragile at the same time, because we never signed any contract with anyone on OnlyWatch. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. OnlyWatch is the way we do now. I give you a call, you say yes, and then it's over. It's a deal.
That is the way the world should be, but never really plays out that way. That's pretty unique.
The altruism and the final, the goal of OnlyWatch helps as well to develop this approach. Huh? We all agree on that. You cannot apply that in every sector of life, huh? But
so was 2004 the first auction?
No, it was 2005. I had the idea in 2004. I prepared the way. And in 2005, during the Monaco Yacht Show in September, inside the main tent of the Yacht Show, for the first time, we organized an OnlyWatch auction. And when I see the prices and the estimate and the result, I feel I should have bought everything.
And how many? I'm gonna ask you this, because this year you guys have 55 watches. It's 54 brands who are taking part, and there are 53 lots up for auction. Back in 2005, how many brands participated?
33 for the first edition.
Wow!
You know, it's incredibly, OnlyWatch is really something amazing, because if you think about how it was done to find which auctioneer I could work with, I just typed on Google. Auctioneer, watches, and Antiquorum popped up. I picked up the phone, said, can I talk to Osvaldo Patrizzi? 3 days later, Dominique Bernaz, who was working with him at the time, came to Monaco. We talked and it started. You know, there's nothing huge behind that. You know, there is the beauty of letting go. And when you think that brands like Patek Philippe are here since day one, and many others, and Blancpain and somebody they never heard of, it's just something that tells us that sometimes when you feel the intention is clear and that the competence is here too, you may happen to let go and it ends up being like a world reference, which we are all happy of. You know, this is not a question of pride and so on. It's just a question of a good example in those difficult moments in the world, just to share with other ones the good news that we can collaborate worldwide on a huge project with very limited means, because I just have one collaborator, my phone and my computer. That's about OnlyWatch. You know what? The strength of hundreds of people creating watches, communicating, partnering, selling, and at the same time, there's no huge foundation, huge. It's just, this is why we can have only 1% cost.
A lot of things you've said there really resonate with me. Something I can always remember from a young age, you mentioned your upbringing and how your parents, you know, distilled certain things. One thing I can always remember my mother saying to me was, the best ideas are the ones that are simple and pure of heart. And ultimately, that's exactly what I've just heard you describe, is a simple idea, keeping it very pure and very simple, and it just works. And as long as there's a bond of trust, then ultimately there's nothing else you need. And that's a rare thing in this, you know, world we live in today, where everyone is skeptical, everyone is doubtful, everyone thinks there's another narrative, another avenue, but ultimately the very best ideas that succeed, always a little bit of luck involved, but the fundamentals are coming from a good place and being pure. So, you know, it's
all about intention.
Absolutely. And it's
the
just,
intention should be clear and people feel it.
Yeah.
We know exactly if we are silent a minute and we connect with someone without judging, more or less we understand what it is all about. We can connect, sometimes not, sometimes, but we can understand the intention. And the art maybe is how you deliver it, so that the other one receives this intention. And then let the person free, you know? If they don't feel like being part of OnlyWatch, never use the sickness, the fact that the people are dying, that they're young. You wouldn't want people to do that to you.
No,
sure, you know,
sure.
So don't do that to others as well. Simple rule as well, you know, something.
And I think from what you've said, you can very much see that. You know, this year and in previous years, the product are these unique watches that are being submitted. The amount of attention, love, creativity that's gone into them it's way more than a brand just saying, okay, just tweak the dial or do something to keep them happy. You know, you look at all of these watches and not a single one of them is just a tweak it a little bit and keep them happy. There is hours and hours of time, dedication and love that's gone into each of these unique pieces. So, you know, that's a true reflection on what you've actually allowed to come together in such a simple but beautiful way.
This is a question I've wanted to ask you from, and if it's okay if I ask this, but obviously there's a common theme amongst the watches that were submitted for this year's auction, and that is orange. You know, your Instagram page has changed, your logo has changed, it's the orange background. It seems like probably, I mean, from what I've seen, 95% or more of the watches that have been submitted have some sort of orange detail to it. Can you kind of explain to us what the significance was behind using this color this year?
I think the percentage is a bit less, is maybe 50% or something. But each year, each 2 years, when I submit the new color, just to for people to realize, we don't talk about the previous edition, but the new one, that's the only aim of the change of color. I always tell them, and it's always at the top list of what I tell them, please don't feel obliged to use the color on the watch. Only, you know, there's no expectation, as there's no pleasure for me to see more orange or more blue. I just see what comes. But you know what? I think if I think about, okay, how do those colors are coming? Do I look at trends? Do I read things? No, I just do some, how do you say, daydream walk? I just walk and I let the thing go down, go, you know, I land in me, I would say. And if I realized, let's take the last three editions. In 2016, unfortunately, we can talk about Paul, of course, because he's always there present with us. Unfortunately, Paul, 4 years ago, passed away, all right? November 2016. Just after I was questioning myself, do I have... Because what I asked brands, I asked myself too. This is why it's working. Luke, do you feel like continuing this project? Yes, you have fantastic rewards of good vibes with people. This is very nice to me too, you know, to be doing something interesting and where I can share my creativity with others. But I asked myself, do you feel like continuing? And I was walking and suddenly the color that came to me was bright yellow, full light, full sun, full life. And I laughed, you know, it was not like a bit of this and a bit of light. It was like total light. We need life. Go, enjoy, do, create. You know, it's going to pass by very quickly. This was the answer just after Paul departed. And then for the next edition, it was a very subtle blue, like, you know, this kind of light blue, magnificent, delicate, pure poetry. It was a moment of, not of calm, but, you know, just the good life, a good normal life, nothing strong really happening. And then for 2021, when I was thinking about it, I had this sunset or sunrise arriving, plenty of vitamins. And now if you think about it, we had 1.5 to 2 complicated years, 1.5 complicated. And we need life. We need again to, you know, to feel the vibration of going into meeting people, doing things. And this color is really matching with that. And this morning, and I won't share what comes down, but for me, this morning was the moment of thinking about 2023. Would 2023 happen? And, you know, we'll see what life brings up. But I was doing the process of just walking, and I saw something else, which is, I would say, more delicate for now. We'll see if it changes. But because I let myself for a few days afterwards, see if what I received or thought was still consistent 2 weeks later. But so it's a kind of sometimes a color that comes with the vibration of what's needed.
Whatever the universe channels through you.
Something like that. But let's say maybe part of it is a bit like this.
Yeah.
So they used, to answer to your question, Barbara, they used it because they liked it, but it was not a prerequisite from our part at all.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just looking at the Instagram, it does seem that you said 50%, you know better than I do. But from the ones, maybe it's the ones that popped out at me. Yes. They were the ones that used orange.
With this color.
Yes, it really was. I mean, I'm a huge, it's one of my favorite colors. So it was all the pieces that had orange in it, I just thought, oh, you know, it was really, really extraordinary. So thank you for answering that. And that was a great explanation.
And I agree with you that the collection of 2021, we can see that there is some extra work that's been accomplished, that more and more brands are really taking a time and dedication to do something special. Because let's be honest, I really think Only Watch is the only project where pure altruism and pure market are swimming together in perfect harmony. Today, the impact of Only Watch on brands, on collectors, on the market, on the perception of the brand is important. Let's not overplay it, but it's important, it's there. And as soon as everybody plays by the book, which is the case, you know, there is no exception to the rule on Only Watch. You have the same size of logo, the same double page, the same, and people are very fine with that. You know, one beauty of this project, I never get a call when I start a new edition from a brand saying, who is coming this year?
Amazing. Mm.
They just discovered the lineup on the 1st of July, like everyone.
You know, that's something that is unusual, especially within the world of luxury, whether it's the Swiss watch industry or the watch industry in general. You know, it is quite a tough environment of everyone trying to get that little space ahead. And I think that all of these brands ultimately having the respect to not push those agendas with you, I think, again, is testament to what you're doing and what Only Watch is doing, because that's a rare space to be in within anything to do with luxury. And it's lovely to hear.
This is in all of us too. This is how I want to see things. All these complex behaviors toward life. We are very complex. All humans are difficult. We have difficulties to understand ourselves. But there is a mediocrity, there is a terror, there is horror, and there is beauty in us. It's just a question of, do you let go and have this part of yourself expressed to the others? And on Only Watch, we should be humbled, happy that this group feeling and this behavior is the DNA of the project. And I just make sure that I keep the rule and the approach the same for all types of brands, whether they bring back 20,000 Swiss francs or many millions. And there is nothing to fight against, to be honest with you. We don't have any kind of tough discussions ever.
I have to say, I think one of the most fun part, and I've watched the auction happen as it's happening, obviously not there in person, but as an outsider watching it online, being live streamed, for me as a mid-range watch collector and not someone who necessarily could afford the record-breaking Patek Philippe, to see brands like Crayon or Baltic or Bell & Ross be up for auction alongside brands like Patek Philippe and FP Journe is really exciting, because this isn't just for like, oh, people with a lot of money or like elite, you know, these elite watch collectors. It really is an auction that if you are interested in watches and you care about the charity, it is for everyone. And I think that's, again, Ricky, you and I probably are more mid-range watch collectors. Dave, you may have a smarter collection than we do, but you know, that's kind of fun to see what those affordable quote unquote watches are for someone like me, what they will sell for to go up at auction. So I love seeing that this is one of the only outlets where you can see those types of brands, which are on such opposite ends of the spectrum, join forces. It's so exciting.
Yeah. On that point, Barbara, you're absolutely on the nail. You know, you have everything from relatively speaking entry level through to the money that is a tiny percentage of the people in this world can afford. But even if people can't ultimately buy into this and buy these watches, I think people get so interested in it that it makes them think, oh, what could I do that's maybe for the better, or how can I get involved in some way? Whereas most auctions, it's just about how much money somebody else is getting for selling something. I think this changes the narrative a lot of people. And I know I watch it and, you know, it does make me constantly think, you know, what could I do? What can we do? What can Scottish Watches do? What can anything I'm involved in do to try and do something for something other than myself or my own little world that I'm in day to day? The bigger picture that, you know, you've talked about, Luke, which even if it only does that, I think that's, for a lot of people, something it's a good place to be.
One of the missions on Only Watch is to do, and it's as much as important as let people do. You know, when I was telling you just before we started the podcast, I don't want to invade too much the territory. You set the frame and then you let people breathe. They know what to do. And you just make sure that we all go in the same direction, that the vibration is okay, that you think that the rule is appropriate or the behaviors and so on. And then you let life express itself. and you let people take the responsibility within this frame. And the good thing is that we realize it can work this way too.
For the people that don't know then, where is the money that is generated? What is that used for? Where does that go?
In fact, what we very early when I created those fundraising for charity, I asked the researchers, what do you need? And the first answer was, of course, we need money, but we need space where we can get together and talk with the same atmosphere as we provide for OnlyWatch, meaning nice frame, friendly atmosphere where the chakras are aligned, let's say that this yep. way.
And
that
good the, energies.
And yes, the energy is vibrant and you can exchange with others in full trust and challenge your views and not being judged. And I organized the Roundtables of Monaco very early in the year 2000s. And by doing that, we started designing the profile of what was missing, you know, what we could fund. And then slowly, like for OnlyWatch, is not that we decided to fund only universities and outside bodies, I would say. We created slowly when we had the proofs of principle, and then we see that it was working. We created biotechs in chemistry, in biology, and then we united all this. We let the researchers develop their own new science technique, which is a breakthrough, which is marvelous. It's all about gene therapy, exon skipping. It's a bit complex. But today, what we do is not only we raise a lot of funds, but we manage those funds. And today, we are in the phase of recruiting the patients to go to clinical trials on humans beginning on 2022.
Mm.
And this is fantastic. And the beauty of this as well is that, you know, what we cherish the most in our life when we can is our independence, our freedom. So on OnlyWatch, the big paradox with all this money and this luxury is that money is just the mean and it stays where it is, you know, one of the means of success. It's not the boss. It doesn't dictate. It comes to support. It allows us, it gives us a fantastic tool because people know we raise a lot of money, including the big pharmas and the big companies, etc. And so they know we cannot, they cannot buy us. It's the property of our charity.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to make any leverage on anything. So they know they can come and do like the watchmakers. They can come, sit, collaborate, participate, exchange. And maybe we're going to license some, what we will do on some other pathologies we wouldn't be able to tackle. It's open table to discuss and to see how we can collaborate. There's no question of money needed for now. We have full what we need. And be at the beginning, we used a couple of hundred thousands of euros to do what we needed to do. And now we need millions. We have them. It's enough for the process. The pace is there. And life is quite beautiful on that. And this is the same approach. I would want to say one word about that, saying, you know, it's like when you want to access the Everest for the first time. Some of the hikers, they went to camp one, camp two, camp three, camp four. They never succeed to plant the flag on the Everest. Who cares? The thing is that what you've been doing to go up to camp four now is like universal knowledge. It's something you can share and you let people access to plant the flag. So whether it will be the people with support or others, the most important is that we would find a therapy quite soon for Duchenne muscular dystrophy and other neuromuscular diseases and other pathologies. And the ultimate goal for me would be to have the chance to put together a cure that will be a generic at the cost of a generic medicine, you know?
Yeah.
So money will be like the donation of this money will be respected all along up to the end. We will see, but the progress is quite strong. And so
fantastic.
We monitor amazing both that. Sides, you know, the watchers and the scientists.
It's just amazing to hear that.
It's nice.
Luke, the watches just show in Geneva for the auction itself, which is November 6th.
Exactly. I started in the World Tour in Monaco with the collection. Then the feedback was excellent. A lot of people wanting to see those watches. And then I flew off with the collection and together with Ferrari Expeditions. They help us a lot on this world tour, and they do like the others. They offer everything. It's beautiful. And I arrived in Dubai And I hope that I was able to visit at least for half a day the 2020
the expo.
Expo.
Yeah.
I ended up doing 6 days from my hotel to Christie's back and forth. There were so many people, but high quality, loving the project, very full of gratefulness that this project exists and they wanted to participate, etc. Then it, unfortunately, because of quarantine, I could not fly to Asia this time. But let me give you just a small example of the impact of Only Watch today. Michael Tay at the Malmaison, the Hourglass, he has put together an exhibition for 6 days from the 15th to the 20th. And how they are facing the pandemics and another wave of difficult moment and confinement, etc. So what they decided is to put together 350 slots available online to take appointment with people, you know, they know those guys. 24 wow. hour in 24 hours, all the slots were taken one day.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And now they extended and they create like evening, night meetings so to offer people the possibility at least to see the collection. So I think the vibe is really great. Then after Singapore, we'll be in Hong Kong at Christie's and finally in Geneva. And the challenge I had, and I was in Switzerland this summer, I saw a lot of emails, a lot of calls, a lot of people wanted to participate. And I told myself, how can we put all these people inside the beautiful Four Seasons Hotel Le Berg ballroom, which can contain 250 people maximum, you know? So I was biking in the Alps and suddenly he came to me and said, oh my God, I have to deal with that now. Whenever I stop, I will give a call. And I called Palexpo and we booked the 3 congress rooms of Palexpo next to the airport. So at least we can double. I wouldn't say triple. The idea is not to have 2,000 people, you know, it's not a concert on the watch. We need to see people with the paddles. I would want to host as many people as we can, because it's, you know, I wouldn't say the legend goes through the fact that you can be there and say, I was there. I felt the energy. Yeah. I saw people. I felt the unity of everybody gathered in this room. I understand better something that we cannot share in words. It's the energy binding us. But at least we will give an opportunity for a bit more people to be present. You have new collectors. You have newcomers, like, you know, the young generation is coming and they, in their approach as well, they want to buy things with a purpose. I can see that too. You know, what do you do? And then this object has another meaning. It's a watch plus something.
It has a story. Right, exactly. That's millennials. Millennials, they buy if something has a story. So I agree. Totally.
So
agree
I think
that.
We will host some around 600 people. So it'll be interesting. It's an adventure for everyone, for Christie's, for us, you know. And this is what's beautiful about any project in life. You don't only repeat, you learn, you progress, you take your risk, you see what comes, and you go there and saying, what can happen? It's just a group. We all together. We'll see. It'll be fine, you know. We'll see.
It's about having faith. What will happen will happen.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. We let go. We try. We take our risk to see what comes.
Brilliant. Right. Barbara and David, you guys know about the watches that are obviously going to be involved this year. So do you want to let us know some of the highlights that you've spotted?
Dave, I'll let you go first.
Thanks for that. I knew you were about to do that. I knew that was coming. To be honest,
I've gone first this whole show.
Good point. I think for me, there's so many amazing things in there, but, you know,
there's no bad ones. Nothing about it is bad. It's so difficult to pick.
No, and, you know, as a lot of people know, my taste in watches generally is pretty eclectic. You know, I'm not led by any.
That's
given.
Not the word they used.
No, that's the polite word for it. We'll stick with eclectic. I'm not driven particularly by brand or by style, whether it's Diver or, you know, whatever it may be. I think for me, part of the reason I'm also wearing my Chaiken today is, you know, knew this was coming and has been thinking about it. And I think every piece he's ever done for Only Watch has just been just exceptional. It's just been so far out of the box. And this year he is, like I thought the last one, he had outdone himself.
What was the last one? Was it the selfie?
Yeah, with the look and stuff, you know, which was unbelievably cool. And it was just a little abstract, a little weird, a little Chaiken basically. But what he's done this this time round is just so exceptional that I think that for me is possibly one of the pieces of the auction.
Dave, what the fuck is it?
What the fuck is it? It's a Chaikin watch, I think.
How about you describe it for the people listening?
I love how you put me in the spot.
you threw him under the bus there, Ricky.
He loves dropping things in. Like, I talked to him about this before.
Dave, please come with information on the show we're discussing. Thank you.
Shush. This is the Chaikin Martian Tourbillon only watch for 2021. How would I describe it? Because there will definitely be pictures in it, because my description will not do it any justice in any way whatsoever. But it has got, obviously, similar look broadly to what everyone will know as the Joker watch. But this has integrated the Tourbillon in it, and where it allows it to show Earth time and Martian time simultaneously. So where on the Joker's, for example, the two eyes, one is the hour, one is the minute, this has Earth time with two hands in one of the eyes and as Martian time in the other eye with two hands as well. So infinitely more complex than, say, the Joker watch. It's got a kind of robotic style, kind of steampunky look to it as well, in terms of the kind of open dial complexity that's going on. It's just a great looking watch. I think if you have a look at the show notes, you will see much better what I'm trying to describe really badly. But this, for me, is a watch from a manufacturer who is quite new in real terms. You know, he doesn't have decades and hundreds of years of heritage, but in the short period of time that he's been in the watch making arena, he has moved, you know, significantly from where he started to the complexity of what he's designing and putting out. And these pieces that he puts out are like nothing really from anybody else in Switzerland or anywhere else in the world for that matter. So for that reason, for it being such a young brand and for being so different and complex compared to what's been done by anybody else, that for me is possibly the piece of the auction. Barbara?
I agree with Dave in that there are so many pieces that continued to blow me away. I mean, as they were coming through, as we were watching the releases, after July, and the leakage, everything was happening on the Only Watch Instagram page. You know, again, there are some spectacular pieces. I think one of the pieces most talked about was probably that FP Journe, the hand piece. But for me, and it's funny, I finally just got to meet Dave Kando when I was in Italy for Vicenza Oro for their VO Clock section of that fair. And they had the HCI members in there. And, you know, I mean, Dave has worked with MB&F for many years, and I just think he's an incredible watchmaker. But he did this very cool piece with an artist, Mickey Saturno, which I think they've called Genesis. And it's, you know, this is a miniature painting that's the dial in this Dave Kando piece. And he's like such a world-renowned watchmaker. It's a titanium piece, 72-hour power reserve. I mean, that was something that impressed me. But I love the Armin Strom. There's so many pieces that I just, again, the ones that included the orange were the ones that I think most, I don't know. I won't even say impressed, because that's a terrible word, and who am I to be impressed? But just, they're the ones that popped for me. And I found some of these pieces so incredibly, I mean, they may be a dark piece, and maybe it was only an hour marker that was orange. Like, it did seem like so many pieces just had that little touch of orange thrown in. So, but yeah, I love that case. And plus, it's, you know, I'm a fan of the underdog. And so when independent watchmakers come to the floor with something really special, I'm always going to root them on. And, you know, I like Dave. He was a really, really nice guy, just very humble, funny. He also doesn't wear a watch. I did an interview with him there, and he didn't have a watch on. He said, no, I don't wear my own watches. I don't. He said, first of all, they cost so much money, I don't want to ruin them. He said,
that's what Roger Smith says.
That is exactly.
Yeah. Roger Smith, when I first met him in London at Horology Forum, I guess it was back in 2018, he was wearing a Rolex. He wasn't wearing his helmet, he was wearing a Rolex. And I was just like, wow, that's just so crazy.
And Philippe Dufour as well. He wears a Pepsi for the same reason.
That's pretty funny. I mean, Luke, again, bravo to you. And man, you're doing the Lord's work, as they would say here in the US. I mean, you're just doing some really spectacular and amazing things. And this has grown, and it's so nice to see your house. happiness. Mm. I mean, I remember your face as you got up to hug Terry Stern at the last auction when that Patek Philippe sold, and just the sheer joy of like, my gosh, like this just happened. And he was so happy. The room, there was so much energy in that room, and people were just standing and clapping. It was so extraordinary to see, knowing that the end game is for something that's going to do good for so many, you know, generations from here on in.
The Only Watch is a fantastic project where one can be happy for a group. And I think my joy when it comes to cheering and being happy on Only Watch is because I'm happy for us. I'm really happy for us that we can succeed, each of us in our different parts, us today talking about the project, some others by creating the watch, just to unite. And you realize that there is no strangers in this world, only people you haven't met yet. You can be the change you want to see in society on this project, it's true. And that somehow where things can connect, and we may have joy all together in something where we create beauty to do good. And we need that today. It's more than something we're happy about. It's kind of a need after the pandemics. We need to find the bonding. We need to trust the capacity of humans to be all together and to do good. Otherwise, it's going to be complicated. You know, there are so many issues we have to tackle. That it's a small contribution to some joy in the world. Let's put it this way.
But having spoken with Barbara and Max, learning more about behind the scenes, finding out about yourself and the story of why this came to be, as Dave mentioned earlier on, that's inspired us to try and look for things to do as well locally on a smaller scale here in Scotland. And if that's what you are doing across the world, you're pushing people to think locally, think to help others instead of always helping themselves, especially after the last 18 months. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. It's fantastic. So for the people that don't know anything about this or where to find out more, what is the website address? What's the Instagram page that they should go and look at?
Onlywatch.com and Onlywatchofficial for Instagram.
Perfect. That's amazing. And Barbara, as we close the show out, what have you been up to? What have you been writing recently that you should read?
I just wrote, actually, if everybody grabs the latest edition, print edition of Revolution, I have a new column in there that I've done for the last few editions that highlights women watch collectors around the world. Mm-hmm. This one actually is highlighting Hind Siddiqui, whom we'll see and who we've had on Scottish Watches, who is the director general of Dubai Watch Week. Luke, will we see you there? As a quick aside, are you going this year?
Yes, I'm going, and they proposed me to have a conference after the results of Only Watch to share with the audience what happened. And yes, it'll be another exercise. It will be nice to share.
That'd be great. And Ricky will get to meet you in person too this year. But other than that, I'm just doing what I do, which is if somebody says to me they need written watch work done, I'm taking it at this point. But you can find me on Instagram at What's On Her Wrist. My blog is whatsonherwrist.com. And again, read my piece in Revo and elsewhere.
Excellent. And what is the date for people to check out? I take it everything will be streamed online as usual.
Yes, it'll be on the Saturday, 6th of November at 2 p.m. Geneva time.
There we go. What a show. That blew my expectations completely out of the water. Thank you very much, Luke, for spending the time with us. We know you're super, super busy, especially on the lead up. And we've been trying to get this arranged when everybody was at the right point in time that had a little bit of availability. So the planets did align for us, thankfully. Right, well, we have Mike France from Christopher Ward. You've heard him on the show many times before. Great guest, great friend, and collaborator in the future, potentially. You never know what might come down the line.
You never do.
You never do, but we're not here to talk about anything today apart from the C60 concept. And we've got Mike here today to explain all about it from the ground floor forward. So Mike, take the stage and tell us all about this amazing watch.
Thanks, Ricky. Delighted to. C60 concept is a celebration, really, of our own movement, Calibre SH21. It's 7 years since SH21 first saw the light of day in July 2014. It's been in the collection ever since. I'm not sure we've ever really communicated how wonderful a movement it is. Not only is it a five-day power reserve and everyone a chronometer, but in that 7 years, it's become the most reliable and robust movement of all the movements that we use. Over the 7 years, it's also become acknowledged as our most reliable and robust movement and the easiest movement that we service. And it takes about 5 years for anybody who's developed a movement to really know how good a movement it is. And it's a credit to its designer. And bearing in mind that, unlike many other movements as well, this was a clean sheet when it was launched. It's not a development from another movement. It's not a few bridges added here and taken away there. And this was a clean sheet of paper. And Johannes Janke, who was our master watchmaker at the time, who was the designer of this, wanted it to be a robust, reliable, easy to service movement. And only 5 years later, after you've had a full service cycle, can you properly really understand that that's what you've achieved? And hand on heart, because we check every single movement and we know exactly what the quality is of all the movements we have. This is the best movement we have in our watches. Never mind its power reserve and never mind its chronometer status. So it seemed after 7 years, and it's 2021, so any excuse for bringing attention to SH21, year 2021, a limited edition 210 pieces. But hey, what are we going to do? How do we make something that's worthy of SH21 in its celebration? And so after, as ever, a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, a bit of luck here and a bit of argument there, C60 concept was born. And it's a skeletonized, it's our first fully skeletonized watch, both front and rear. We've, as ever, gone to really valued partners in the Swiss watch industry to help us create this outstanding watch. Outstanding is my opinion. Others will make their own mind up.
This is true. I'll second that motion.
But in helping us create the architecture of the movement, mainly the bridge work, we've gone to a longtime partner, Armin Strom, who many of your listeners will know are, wonderful watch and movement manufacturers. Happen to be 7 minutes walk away from our atelier in Biel, and we have a great working relationship with them. They've always loved working with us, A, because we don't compromise, but we do push them. that works really well. For the first time, we're using Chronode. And the reason we're using Chronode is different to any other SH21 we've ever done, including the Apexes. The bevels of the bridges here are all being hand polished, and Chronode are the best probably in the world at hand polishing bevel finishes of movements. Each C60 concept has had in excess of 6 hours of hand polishing under microscope by the team at Chronode. And if you go to their place, there's a whole floor of people, about 15 to 20 people, just hand polishing. But this also appeals to my heart because we've gone right to the top of the tree in terms of the finishing. And we're talking here about, brands like Ribble Forsey, MB&F. We're not talking about even brands, fantastic brands such as Zenith, who don't finish to this level. So that's something really exciting for us. And I think, again, is worthy of celebrating SH21. And then the third major new supplier for us is Xenoprint. And Xenoprint are specialists in what they call Globalite, which is three-dimensional superluminova, if you like, 3D SLN. And as people will see when they see the C60 concept, and not only have we moved luminosity on in terms of design within the watch, we've also moved it on in terms of its componentry, because the triangle at 12, which is synonymous with our dive watches and our Trident collection, is in a three-dimensional Xenoprint Globalite construction. And to get that, they mix resin with superluminova. And then we think to get orange, they mix ceramic in as well, because that gives it some added strength. They create it slightly oversized. It then shrinks after it's been in the mold. And then we put it through CNC machining. So we actually end up with beveled edges to the triangle. So, it's not the most technical or even the most dynamic part of a movement or this watch. But when you see it, it's yet to fail to bring a smile to my face. And in some regards, I have to say, it's the favourite part of the watch for me.
It reminds me of the chest plate in Iron Man. Iron Man's entire suit is fantastic, but your eyes go straight to that chest piece.
I can always rely on you, Ricky, for a good movie reference.
Wait till you hear the Tron Legacy ones later on.
So we wanted to replicate Iron Man in the C60 concept.
Correct.
And I think we've achieved it. I'm bound to say this. Well, I'm not. I'm really pretty honest about these things. I do think it is the treatment we've got of luminosity in this watch, I think, is above and beyond anything we've ever done before. And I think most people, when they see the watch, will probably agree with that statement. So the watch itself, you know, is a titanium case. It's available on the titanium bracelet as well as our hybrid straps. It's not a cheap price point for us. It's, you know, on a hybrid strap, it's $3,495. So it's as expensive a watch as we've ever done. But I also think it's probably the best value watch we've ever done. Yeah. Because we've, you know, the guys have gone to real extremes here. This is really high-end watchmaking. This is the art of watchmaking at its best level, virtually. Yeah. But anything around the £15,000 or £20,000 level, honestly, you won't, you know, it's very, very, very comparable. And then you've got our design aesthetic. And I think it's as beautiful a watch as any of those that are around that price point. So I think this is our best value watch. And I was explaining earlier, you know, it's even better value than our norm, because we're famous for just multiplying the cost price by three. We had to make some assessments of the cost of the finishing. We undercut the cost of the finishing. So this is actually slightly less than three times multiple. So this is probably, without question, the best value Christopher Ward watch ever produced.
I would agree. Well, it is always a pleasure having you on the show. And I believe you will be back shortly with Roger and Nick to tell us all about 1 year of the Alliance.
Indeed. I'm really looking forward to that. It's been quite a year all around, really.
Definitely. So thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you guys again soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Ricky.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.